Next Man Up 102.5, The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Second hour on this Wednesday. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Visit Busy Bee HVAC at the Music City Home Expo event this Friday through Sunday at the Fairgrounds Expo Center. It is draft eve. We are going through everything that could happen tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. And again, Corey Curtis is live in Pittsburgh. He will join us in the 11 a.m. hour. So excited to talk to Corey. He's been out at the Play 60 event. A lot of the big prospects who are at the draft are out there. He's been able to speak with them. So excited to hear from Corey in about an hour. There's so much smoke going on right now, Parker. I wanted to just go through the top 10 with you here. And let's come to a consensus on what these teams should do with their top 10 picks. Doing the whole first round is almost impossible, right? Like, there are guys that we aren't talking about as first round picks that are going to get in there, right? Like, maybe not a Cole Strange level reach when Bill Belichick took him in the first round a few years ago, but there are players that we aren't discussing as first round picks that will be in there. 32 is too much, but the top 10, I think we can get a pretty good idea of what these teams should do. Number one, it's easy. Fernando Mendoza, right? I mean, he is the number one quarterback. Vegas has been eyed in on him from the very beginning. He is going to go number one. Do you think the Jets should go Bailey or Reese at number two, Parker?
That's a good question, just because I know Aaron Glenn was... He got a lot out of an injury-riddled defense in Detroit, so I don't doubt that he's a good developer. But also, too, and I know this probably shouldn't factor into it as much as it does, it's New York, so I have no idea. To me, in my mind, Arvel Reese has the much higher ceiling.
I agree.
But will they be able to develop him properly? That's a question I ask. I do think they're going one of the two. I think they should go Reese, but I think it's going to be Bailey.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this because I agree with you. Like, for the Jets, you're in a rebuild. Geno Smith is your starting quarterback right now. Taking the guy with the higher ceiling may make more sense, but you're the Jets. Do you just take the guy with the higher floor that's like, all right, you know, David Bailey, maybe he's not going to be Micah Parsons, but we think that he can be a high-level pass rusher in this league. I would say I think the Jets should take David Bailey, but it's close. And that's the one that everybody's kind of waiting for the domino to fall to see where things pan out from there. Arizona at three. Jeremiah Love is the popular pick right now. I saw Peter Schrager mock it this morning. Dan Graziano in his intel this morning said Jeremiah Love. We saw Adam Schefter put out there that Love is in play at three. Is that all a smokescreen, or do you think Arizona actually could go running back, and should they go running back considering where that roster is?
No, I don't think they should go running back because they don't have an established quarterback, so I don't think that would make sense. They have a lot of needs here. I think it would be smart to go either – I'm guessing Reese is going to be available by this point. I think you go Reese or Francis Maugoa. I think those should be your two options.
I think Reese for Arizona. If the Jets go Bailey, I think Arizona should go Reese. Like, you're in a spot where getting a player like that on your defense could be a huge step in their rebuild. Quarterback is the big thing, and you know they are the heavy odds-on favorite to take Ty Simpson at some point in this draft, likely either at 34 or trading back into the first round. I think Arvel Reese is a good move for that team that – I don't want to say they don't have much to lose, right? But, like, you're in a really tough spot with your quarterback situation. You finish the season on a 9-game losing streak. Bringing in Arvel Reese gives you a high-ceiling player that could end up being a staple of your defense. With Jeremiah Love, yeah, I understand it that you add another weapon for your young quarterback. Like, if you do take Ty Simpson, giving him Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride, and Jeremiah Love all on his offense, yeah, that helps. But I do think you need to invest in the defense. I would go Arvel Reese there. I do think that the Love smoke might be coming from the owner, Bidwell. Like, I think he realizes, as we've had fans text in, like, Jeremiah Love is going to sell tickets, and he's going to sell jerseys. And I wonder if Arizona, knowing that this is probably going to be a down year for them where they're picking in the top five again next year, if not all the way at the top of the draft, getting a young, explosive player who is probably the highest rated player regardless of position in the draft might be good for the bottom line. And so maybe that's part of it too. I think Austin Fort wants to trade out, but if they stick, his owner might be saying, you know, you take Jeremiah Love and he is going to sell tickets, he's going to sell merch, and we are going to make money even if we go 2-15 this next season.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is smoke because they know the team behind them is very interested in Jeremiah Love. So I think this a lot of this is smoke, but I think the Titans, while the Titans and Cardinals are very similar in they both have a lot of needs and not enough picks to address all those needs, but the difference between Arizona and Tennessee is Tennessee has what they think is going to be the quarterback of the future. So it would make more sense to pair him with an elite running back prospect in Jeremiah Love. Meanwhile, you know, in Arizona, they don't have that quarterback. So you'd kind of be doing it the opposite way, which I don't think is a smart move.
For Arizona, percent chance they take Ty Simpson at 3?
0.
You think 0?
Not happening.
I'm going to go 2. I don't think it's impossible.
I think they're going to find a way to trade up back into the first round.
I agree, but that's risky. If they love Ty Simpson and think that he can be their franchise quarterback, passing on him at 3 and trying to trade up is risky because it opens the door for other teams to do the same thing. And so
it's not happening.
Again, I'm going 2%. I think it's very unlikely, but it's not impossible.
Because also, too, there's a good chance that they could get him with their first pick in the second round.
Yeah, but that's a risk.
A huge risk,
If you think he's a franchise quarterback, you don't let him get by you.
I think this is going to play out exactly how it played out with Jackson Dart last year, where they trade back into the first round late and get him. Because the Steelers there, you know, we have no idea what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. So that's an enticing option. But Arizona, to me, makes the most sense. And then also, too, there is a small possibility the Jets could take Ty Simpson in the middle of the first round.
Yep, they pick 16, and there are a couple other teams that you might keep an eye on. I'm putting it 2%, but I don't think it's impossible. Titans at 4. What do you think they should do at 4? I think Jeremiah Love is the answer there, especially knowing that the pass rushers are going to be off the board, most likely. Arvell Reese versus Jeremiah Love would be a tougher decision than like Styles versus Love, but I think I'm going with Jeremiah Love is what the Titans should do at number 4. You've got a young quarterback that you just haven't helped enough this offseason. Jeremiah Love helps you. And yes, you have to do more around him. They've got to address the offensive line later in the draft, but I do think if I'm seeing, given what we expect to happen at the top of the draft, the odds say, and a lot of the insiders say, it's going to be the 2 pass rushers, 2 and 3. If Love is there, I think the Titans should take Jeremiah Love.
You know what I'm going to say, right? Because you have 2 positions that are both looked at as non-premium positions,
yeah,
but you need weapons for your quarterback. So you have 2 guys, you know, nobody has the intangibles or the measurements that Sonny Styles has, but also, too, Jeremiah Love is viewed as the best player in the draft. You get weapons to help your young quarterback. Jeremiah Love should be the pick.
Well, and I will say, Mike Borgonzi mentioned specifically when he was asked about Sonny Styles that Robert Saleh has done a nice job of developing guys they take later in drafts to be his starting middle linebacker. Fred Warner, 3rd-round pick. Dre Greenlaw was a 5th-round pick. Quincy Williams was a 3rd-round pick in 2019. So these are guys who were not taken at the top of drafts, and Robert Saleh was still able to get the most out of them. I do get that that is an important position in a Robert Saleh defense, is to have that middle linebacker who can play hash to hash. He can carry routes up the middle of the field. But Robert Saleh's been able to find those guys later in drafts and develop them into stars. Fred Warner is the big example everyone says, and says, oh, Sonny Styles could be his Fred Warner. Well, he wanted Tremaine Edmonds in the 1st round and had to settle for Fred Warner in the 3rd. I think we saw how that turned out. I do think that, yeah, they probably do address linebacker at some point in this draft to get somebody who fits better in coverage for Robert Saleh, but the fourth overall pick is a little bit steep, especially with some of the other options you could have on the board. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction. We'll go through the rest of the top 10 here. And again, we are going to do our Post-it note predictions. It is draft day, rewatch day. What are you writing on the Post-it note blank, no matter what, for the Titans this weekend in the draft? We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game. We are one day away from hearing those chimes again. Draft weekend, one of the best weekends of the sports calendar. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game. And all of our football offseason coverage is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks. From kickoff to last call, Tennessee Brewworks, the official craft beer of the football offseason on ESPN 1025 The Game. We are going through the top 10 right now. There are a lot of smoke screens, a lot of different predictions out there, but just going through and saying, what should these teams do tomorrow night? And we've gone through the first four picks. Number one, of course, Fernando Mendoza. We said Bailey at two with, kind of 50-50 on Reese. That pick, I think we'll know by the time they come out. Like, I think there will be some sort of consensus. But as of right now, I think it could go either way. Three, we both agreed they should go with whatever pass rusher is left. I assume it's going to be Arvell Reese. And the Titans, we said Jeremiah Love. At five for the Giants, I think things change now that they have that second top 10 pick from the Dexter Lawrence trade. I think Sonny Styles is probably the pick here. If he gets past the Titans, of course. But Caleb Downs wouldn't shock me either. I think Caleb Downs, we had this discussion the other day, Parker, of is he a victim of prospect fatigue? He's been talked about as a top five, top 10 pick, basically since he stepped foot on campus at Alabama and, of course, transferred to Ohio State. I think Caleb Downs is still going to go somewhere in the top 10, and I think his window starts at number five for the Giants.
Yeah, no, I'd certainly say that's fair, but I've had this feeling that if Sonny Styles doesn't go in the top four, I could totally see this being a John Harbaugh guy. So I have a feeling, and two, they have two picks in the top 10. So I see them addressing defense with their first. This just seems like a John Harbaugh guy, Sonny Styles. So I see Sonny Styles going at five, and then they go offense at 10.
Yep, and I think they're probably going to go Styles at five because there's not really an option. Like, I guess you could go wide receiver at five and hope that Downs maybe is there at 10. But if you want to get one of these game-changing...
That's more risky.
It's risky, right? And I think you can go Styles at five, and then there's a chance Tate or Tyson is there at 10. Six with the Browns. This one, I think they want to trade out. I do. But if they stick, I think they go offensive line because they've had to replace their entire offensive line this offseason. All five starters from last year are gone. Now, they've done work there in free agency, but I do think that they need to go out and find a staple tackle. I would think it's Francis Maui-Noah here. It could be Carnell Tate, but I think they're going to go offensive line at six.
Get out of my head, Jake.
You're thinking offensive line, too?
I'm thinking exactly what you're thinking. Yeah. If my options are Francis Maui-Noah or Carnell Tate, I have much more confidence in Francis Maui-Noah being your right tackle of the future than I do Carnell Tate. You know, I think a top six selection on a guy that is, in my mind, I see being a low-end wide receiver one, I can't bring myself to do that.
Yeah, I think Carnell Tate, in my mind, is kind of a similar level prospect as the guy like Jerry Jeudy. Like, you have Jerry Jeudy in there. I know he's older and we've seen what he is, but like, Carnell Tate doesn't move the needle for me. I agree with you. Solidifying that offensive line for Shedeur Sanders or the next quarterback you bring in, I think that's going to be important for Cleveland. So I agree. I think it's offensive line there. Seven for the Commanders. I think they will go offensive weapon of some sort. They don't really have a ton in that area for Jaden Daniels right now. You've got scary Terry McLaurin. He's dealt with some injuries. And Terry McLaurin, I think, is perpetually going to be kind of a top 20 wide receiver, but he's never a top 10 guy. I think they're going to go offensive weapon. If Jeremiah Love somehow slips to seven, don't think it's going to happen, but if he does, I think the Commanders run the card in for Jeremiah Love. But if he's not there, whoever their top wide receiver is, I think that's what they should do. They need to give Jaden Daniels help. I think they're going to go with one of the three. Love, in the rare chance he makes it there, or it could be Tate or Tyson at seven, depending on who they have rated higher.
All right, so this is where I have Caleb Downs going.
You have Downs to the Commanders.
Generational safety. They have a defensive-minded head coach in Dan Quinn. I do not think it would be wise whatsoever to pass on a generational safety who's getting compared to Ed Reed. If he's there at number seven, you run the card in. They have a need for safety. It just makes sense.
I could see it. I just think with Jaden Daniels coming off a disappointing second season, I know injuries played a role in that. I think you want to help him as much as possible. Getting him another offensive weapon to be a detractor from Terry McLaurin. Because, like, what else do they have over there right now? Deebo Samuel's gone. They still have Ertz, right, at tight end. But, like, meh. They got Chig. They got Van Jefferson. But they need to help Jaden Daniels a little bit more. They need to give him some more weapons. Eight is the one spot that I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, in the top 10, I think I have a pretty good idea of the direction teams are going to go. Like, two or three different prospects or one or two position groups, that's where they're going to go. The Saints could go absolutely anywhere with this pick. I would guess it's going to be defense, but it wouldn't shock me if they go get another wide receiver to pair with Chris Olave and give Tyler Shuck another option on the offensive side of the ball. This could be a Reuben Bain landing spot. Maybe even a Caleb Downs landing spot. If Sonny Styles falls, he could go there. The Saints really are one of the one team in the top 10 that I really don't have a good grasp on, at least an area that they're going to go. Obviously, we don't know anything about who the players are going to be, but I feel good about most of the top 10 in that I can see, all right, it's going to be this cluster of players. The Saints could go anywhere. They're off the board for me. Do you have any idea, Parker, of where you think the Saints might go?
Well, they need a replacement for Cam Jordan. So you look at who they have in the defensive line room at edge rusher. It's not great. So I think that's where they address it here. And our guy is still on the board, Reuben Bain.
So I put together a full mock draft. I do it every year just for fun, and then I go back through and see, you know, how far off I was. I did have Reuben Bain here. I think that's a fit. And if he doesn't go at eight, I think there's a good chance that he goes at nine to the Chiefs. So I think the Saints might go Bane. Chase from White Bluff says, as a Saints fan, I really don't know. I would hope best defensive player available. And that's kind of where I'm standing too. The Chiefs, I think Bane is in play here at nine. If not, it's Mansoor Delane. Like, I feel pretty good about saying it's one of those two players.
Yep. Because they desperately need corner. Trent McDuffie's gone. Justin Watson's gone. You need corner. Mansoor Delane's the best guy on here. There's concern about Jermaine McCoy if he has to have another surgery, what that could do to his career. So you go Mansoor Delane.
Outside shot wide receiver there. Outside shot. Because they do have 29 and 40. Which,
could you imagine a Carnell Tater, Mekhi Lemon with Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, and pair him with some of the other options they have there. I would like any of those picks to the Chiefs, especially knowing 29, you're probably going to have some cornerback options on the market with Colton Hood, Brandon Cease, maybe even Jermaine McCoy is there at 29 if you feel better about the medicals at 29 than you do at 9. So I think the Chiefs, cornerback likely, could be Bane, could be wide receiver. I will say they should take a cornerback. And then the Giants at 10. I would guess they go defense at 5. They take whichever wide receiver is still sitting around. Now, the question becomes, though, if Tyson and Tate both go before them, could they double up on Ohio State defenders? Like, could they go down, or Styles at 5, Downs at 10 if he gets there? I think that could be really intriguing for John Harbaugh. Of course, you know, he was the back end of the Ray Lewis, Ed Reed era, but to get two guys who are considered pretty generational prospects at linebacker and safety in the top 10. That could be intriguing to John Harbaugh as he steps in for his first year in New York.
Yeah, and this is my thing going into the draft. I think there is going to be a bit of a slide on Carnell Tate. And I think that he ends up paired with former teammate Sonny Styles. So I think Carnell Tate is the pick here. I think they go defense first and then offense. I would feel much more comfortable about taking Carnell Tate at 10 versus having him at number 4 or number 5.
Yeah, I think for the Giants, you keep your eye on Columbus, Ohio for their picks because there are 4 Ohio State players who could likely, probably are going to go in the top 10. Beyond that, no idea. I mean, that's the NFL draft for you, but it's going to be chaos tomorrow night in Pittsburgh, and we cannot wait. It's one of the best nights of the entire year. 615-737-1025. Again, Corey Curtis is going to join us live from Pittsburgh coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. So excited for that to get Corey's thoughts on what the Titans might do tomorrow night at 4 and beyond. Coming up next, though, we have talked about it for months, that the tradition is you'd watch draft day the night before the NFL draft. It's like Christmas Eve where you read the night before Christmas. You watch draft day the day before the actual draft day. And the big moment in that movie is Sonny Weaver Jr., Kevin Costner, dropping the post-it note on the table that says, Vontae Mack, no matter what. What is your no matter what for the Titans? What are you writing on the post-it note? We will give ours coming up next. I already see a ton on the text line and in the YouTube chat. We will get to those coming up next. What is your no matter what the Titans have to do? This doesn't have to be at number 4. It can be anything to do with the draft. We'll do it after this. 615-737-1025. Tee it up with us at the 5th Annual 615 Open May 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are once again supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. You can register now to play your sponsor at 615open.com. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game. The Game Nashville Sports Network will have coverage of the NFL Draft live tomorrow from T-Line Nashville and on Friday from Chicago's home of Chicken and Waffles. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow on 1025 The Game and Friday on Sports Talk 830. Presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Pizona MD, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Sealmaster, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air Home Generators. We are one day away from the NFL Draft, and as we have been advocating, everyone should watch Draft Day tonight to get yourself in the draft mood. It's not a good movie. It's not going to win any Oscars. But damn if it's not entertaining. And it is. Sonny Weaver Jr. going through. We had a great day at the end as he's able to trade 3 second round picks to get an off-ball linebacker, a running back, and a punt returner. The big moment in that movie, though, of course, is he makes the pick, the whole war room's freaking out, and he throws the post-it note on the table that reads, Vontae Mack, no matter what. We have asked you, what do the Titans need to do during this draft, no matter what? What is your post-it note prediction? Parker, I'm going to let you go first. What do the Titans need to do in this draft, no matter what?
Okay, so we all know their three biggest needs are edge rusher, wide receiver, and then if you want to throw Jeremiah Love in there, sure. I think Jeremiah Love is going to be the pick at number 4, so I'm going to go something that I haven't really talked about as much.
Yeah.
I think the Titans need to address the center position on day 3 specifically. Because there are 3 guys on day 3 that I know for a fact are going to be available, and I would love to see the Titans get one. And here are the 3 guys. Jake Slaughter, the center from Florida, all SEC guy. Pat Coogan, center from Indiana, who before that played at Notre Dame with who? Jeremiah Love. If Jeremiah Love is the pick, it would make a lot of sense for them to pair him with Pat Coogan. The 3rd guy, who is probably going to go higher than Coogan, and that's Parker Brailsford, the center from Alabama. Those are the 3 guys that I really like at the center position. My crush is Jake Slaughter. I would love to see the Titans address the center position on day 3. If you don't get Jeremiah Love, I prefer Jake Slaughter. If you do get Jeremiah Love, Pat Coogan's your guy.
All right, so Parker says center, no matter what. The Titans need to address that position. I'm going a little off the board here. Anybody who's listened to this show knows that I have had one thought about the Titans and what they need to do this offseason, no matter what. And the culmination comes this weekend. Trade Will Levis, no matter what. That is my post-it note prediction. And it's nothing against Will Levis, but he is an asset that is not going to have higher value moving forward. He is a free agent after this season, so he is going to walk for nothing. We get texters all the time saying, why not keep him, develop him, see if he can turn into something. For what, though? You can develop him all you want this season as a backup to let him walk for nothing next year. And I'm not in any illusion that he's going to get you a second-round pick or a third-round pick or even a fourth, but he is going to be able to help you maneuver around the draft board. And I did see Ben Solak, who we've referenced a couple of his articles at ESPN.com. He put out yesterday, somebody asked him, who is a player that nobody is talking about that is going to impact a team in 2026? And he tweeted, Will Levis. And that kind of shocked me, that was the guy he was thinking of. TD responded and said, package him in a pick to move up into the later part of a round. I think that's exactly what the Titans need to do. Take Will Levis and your 101st pick and see if you can trade up into the mid to late 80s and add another top 100 pick, add another player that you think can start for this team immediately. That is my post-it note prediction. I'm throwing it on the table. Trade Will Levis this weekend, no matter what.
This has been your thing for a while.
It's had to happen for a while. I thought it was going to happen last year. But this is your last chance, really. And I know there are people who say, well, let him play in the preseason and see if he shows out and raises his value. What if he doesn't play well? Right? Like, you signed Hendon Hooker, you signed Mitch Trubisky. That's your three quarterbacks in the room heading into training camp. Maybe you add an undrafted guy. I know Chase and Joe and their simulations have been adding Diego Pavia in every single mock draft. But the three guys that you're going to carry into training camp are Ward, Trubisky, and Hooker.
Could you imagine Levis, Hooker, and
Pavia all in the same room? Yeah,
at the same time.
Hilarious.
Yeah, imagine telling somebody that 5 years
like
ago.
Like, the three biggest college fandoms that probably follow the Titans as their pro team, give all three of their most recent great quarterbacks and put them in there. I mean, Levis wasn't great, I guess, at Kentucky, but he had one really good year. But I think that would be hilarious. It's not going to happen, though. And Will Levis, he has value. It's not a ton of value, but he has value to either get you a late-round pick by himself or help you as a sweetener to move up in the draft somewhere. I think that's probably how he's used. It was funny yesterday, the Titans tweeted out a picture of the quarterbacks, and it was just like, our QB room was the caption. And it was Ward and Trubisky high-fiving each other, and then a picture of Hendon Hooker throwing a football. I think that might tell you where things are going.
Trade Levis. I think you're going to get a sixth-round pick for him. I think you ask for a five, but settle with the
six. I don't think they're going to do a straight-up pick. And maybe they do. Maybe it's just like, hey, in the fifth round, we've already used 142 and 144, and Borgonzi says, there's somebody we really like in the 150s. Let's see if we can throw Will Levis at it and maybe add a seventh or something and see if we can move up. It's an opportunity to use him to get a clean pick. But I think it's more likely that he is used. You do Will Levis and 142 to get up to 125. Even better, Will Levis and 101 to move up into the 80s. That would be my preference, but I do think he's going to be traded at some point this weekend. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We are going to take your post-it note predictions coming up next. What is the no matter what that you need the Titans to do this weekend? This could be the fourth overall pick. I would expect we're going to see some Jeremiah Love no matter what. But it also could be later in the draft. It could be just something around the draft the Titans need to do. Send us your post-it note predictions. We will get to them coming up in the next segment. 615-737-1025, our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, Corey Curtis going to join us at the top of the hour, live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as we prepare for tomorrow's NFL draft. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. It is draft eve. Tomorrow, we finally get to find out what the Titans are going to do at number four after 6 months of speculation on what the Titans could do at the top of this draft since they fired Brian Callahan. Finally, tomorrow from Pittsburgh, the Titans will be on the clock at number 4. Corey Curtis is going to join us live from Pittsburgh in the final hour of the show. So excited for that. Tomorrow on the show, we will have TD for draft day, which will be great. Tonight, everybody should be watching the movie Draft Day. And we've asked you the question, what's your post-it note prediction from the movie blank? No matter what, we're getting your answers now on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start by going to the phones. Adam in Portland is called in. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Negotiable for tomorrow?
You're non-negotiable?
Yeah, is that what you're asking for?
Yeah. So like
non-negotiable?
Right. What needs to happen no matter what for the Titans this weekend?
No way we walk away without a pass rusher.
Okay.
I think Femi is not it yet. I'm not saying he won't be. But if we don't get pressure, dude, it doesn't matter what we've done in the offseason. I think our team is going to not be good. If people could stand back there, I don't care how good the new corners are. And I like Jeff, but when you change from a 3-4 to a 4-3, the D-tackles are sometimes less impactful. So you've got to have a good edge rusher, and we don't have that right now. So I'm hoping that non-negotiable, we find a player. It doesn't mean we can't trade back. My favorite pick, and I've told you this for 2 months, is to trade back and get Bane, but we've got to get an edge rusher, man.
Yeah, I agree with you, Adam. You look at this edge group, and I think there are solutions for this season. Jermaine Johnson, trading for him and making that swap with T'Vondre Sweat. Johnson, a much better fit in this solid defense, and adds a guy who's proven that he can do it at the NFL level. Good addition, but he's only under contract for 1 year. Maybe he blows up and you extend him and he can be a long-term solution, but you just don't know at this point. Jacob Martin on the other side, more of a veteran rotational type of guy. Like, I would say, kind of like an Arden Key type of role. Like, he's probably going to get you 5 to 7 sacks during the season, but he's not a long-term solution. Femi is the wild card in all of this because you hope that he's going to develop and end up being one of those guys that you build around on the edge, but nothing that we saw last season gives you too much strong belief in that. So I agree with Adam that you've got to be able to add somebody that you think is a long-term answer at pass rusher, whether that's Bailey or Reese at the top of the draft or Bane in a trade back, or somebody at the top of the second round like a Zion Young or Malachi Lawrence, somebody in that range I think could really help this team. But I agree with Adam that they probably do need to address edge early in this one. We've got some more on the text line. Lenny with maybe my favorite one. Lenny says, don't screw up, no matter what. I think that's fair. In that same vein, we had 4312 say, what would Rand Carthon do? Do the opposite is on his post-it note. That's fair, too. I think that there is a lot of things that you don't like about the Rand Carthon era. He obviously didn't have completely horrible decisions always, but Mike Borgonzi, I think we've seen, has been more competent in that role. Skyler says, no matter what, do not draft a receiver after the second round. Titans roster is full with number 3 wide receivers, don't need another. If they think a guy is worth the pick in trading down the first or at 35 to be a solid high-end number 2 receiver, I get it. But no matter what, don't waste a pick after the second round on another number 3 wide receiver. I agree with you. That was a conversation.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
We had that conversation on Monday of, do you need another 4th-round wide receiver when you just took 2 last year? Probably not. You need a dude. You need a guy who can come in and you're sure he's going to be a starting-level wide receiver, if not more for this team. You're not really finding that outside of the first 2 rounds unless you get really lucky.
Like, now, I think you could get a really good wide receiver in round 3 just because the talent's so spread out
right
in that room specifically, but past that, I think you're right. I would not waste a pick. Like, if it came down to you're picking in the 4th round and you need a center or wide receiver, I'm going center because I think there's value at center there.
That's kind of where I was going to go with it too. Like, let's say you go Love at 4, you go pass rusher at 35, and you go cornerback at 66, like a Keontae Scott type of guy who's going to come in and play the nickel role for you. If you're sitting there at 101 and the choice is between a wide receiver and a guy who could be a starting center, yeah, give me a center because I've got enough of the lottery ticket wide receivers that you take later. And sometimes those guys end up blowing up. Sometimes you get Amon-Ra St. Brown or Puka Nacua, but it's very rare. And I think you have to assume that if you're going to get that number one wide receiver, it's going to come with either your first or your second draft pick coming up tomorrow and Friday. 615-737-1025. Again, we are taking your post-it note predictions, for lack of a better term, from the movie Draft Day. What is your no matter what for the Titans this weekend? Let's go back to the phone lines. Dustin in Hopkinsville, a.k.a. Mr. Clean, has called in. Dustin, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Turned over a new leaf, and I am the choir boy now, Mr. Clean. There, Adam, if you're listening, I know you are. Anyways, so what I need the Titans to do is go ahead and give Cam Ward all the help on offense. You know, that if we get Love, that's going to help him a lot. They address the line more. We don't want to see Cam Ward on his back. We want to take away all question marks because this year, we are not. If we get in the playoffs, we have over exceeded my expectations by far. If we get that last wild card, all right? Now, what I want this year is answers for Cam Ward. I want to see him develop forward, not regress, and not be stagnant. And I want to give him the protection and the weapons. Love is a weapon, and they can then protect him. If Love is not there, trade back. And getting that dog wide receiver, the Mekhi Lemon, I love that dude. You talk about him, he elevates over his height to get the ball. That is dog. That is athleticism and heart and dog put together, and you just can't find that in a guy very often. All right? So that's what I want. I want weapons, and I want protection for Cam Ward. I want all question marks off the board into this season. Actually, by midseason, we should know if we draft right. And I'm fine with Borgonzi going in the fourth round and taking receivers because I've seen what he's done with what little he had last year. I want to see what he can do again. And you do find that diamond in the rough every now and then. I think Borgonzi can do that.
Thanks for the call, Dustin. I would disagree on the last point of you don't need more depth in the wide receiver room. You've got DK and Ian Manner and even Bryce Oliver, who I think Titans fans last year before the injury were excited to see get a little bit more of a chance on the offensive side after seeing what he did in the preseason and obviously is one of their better special teams players. You got depth. You need top-end talent. And again, yes, there's the Nico Collins and the Cooper Kupps and Amon-Ra and Puka. Those happen, yes. But it's much less likely than finding a guy at 4 or 35, even though, you know, if they're going to take one in the first round, I think you end up trading back to do that, take Tyson or Tate. Justin says, I think no matter what, the Titans need to grab a tall and quick wide receiver. And that's, I mean, yeah, I would like...
You described Ted Hurst. You could get Ted
Hurst,
in the third round.
Chris Brazel. Like, those are kind of guys that would fall in that.
Oh, but his maturity issues.
Yeah, I loved PK trying to read that.
That was hilarious.
It's a poorly written sentence. It really was from Adam Schefter. Maybe intentionally to try and cause some confusion. 5102, no matter what, Eli Stowers. I like Eli. I really do. I don't know if there's a fit when it comes to positional need and the pick that the Titans are going to have. Unless they trade back from 35, right? Like, if you trade back from 35 and pick up another third, maybe you end up in that 45 to 60 range where Eli Stowers, I think, is probably going to go. I think 35 would be a little too rich for Eli Stowers, and I think 66, he's going to be gone. So unless you trade back and find yourself in a more reasonable spot to take Eli Stowers, I would probably say no. Not impossible, but I'm gonna lean that's not going to happen.
It'd be awesome. You know, I'd love to have Eli Stowers in third. I think he's gone before then.
We have a couple on here, non-negotiable, do not get caught holding hands with a reporter.
Good
sure,
advice.
That might be good advice all around for everybody. 615-737-1025. Nevada Josh says, do not let Amy speak no matter what. I don't think she's going to. I mean, she'll be on the phone with whoever they take it for sure, and we'll see those videos of, you know, Borgo will make the call and welcome him to the Titans, and I'm going to hand you off to our owner, Miss Amy. I think that's probably the most we'll hear from Amy Adams Strunk this weekend. Maybe she speaks at the introductory press conference on Friday, but I would probably doubt it. 615-737-1025. If you have any more post-it note predictions, no matter what, like the movie Draft Day, what no matter what needs to happen for the Titans this weekend. We'll finish with this one on the YouTube chat. Eswalt says, no matter what, a starting lineman has got to be taken. I personally love a trade back to 12 as well with Dallas and taking Vega. Not sure he's there at 12. Regardless, need a starting interior offensive lineman. I actually would really love that as an option. Trade back, get 12 and 20 if possible, and then you could go. I think Vega would be a good pick at 12. I do. I know that isn't the sexy pick, and I know people would be upset with taking another guard in the top 12. And it... there might be better options depending on the way the board falls. But if you got Vega and then could go wide receiver or edge at 20, get the other one at 35, I would understand that thought process from Mike Borgonzi of this is a deep draft at wide receiver and edge. We're going to get the best offensive lineman who can help protect our quarterback at 12, and then we're going to get some of those starting caliber players at 20 and 35.
We're talking about a guy that gave up one sack across a three-year span. So I think he goes to Baltimore at 14. That's just kind of my gut feeling on that. But he's one of the better guard prospects I think we've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think he is. Him to Baltimore at 14 is pretty telegraphed at this point. Again, somebody could jump him and go get him. But I think if he's on the board at 14, he's probably the pick. 615-737-1025. If you have any more, no matter what, non-negotiables for the Titans heading into draft weekend, we will take them on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But we are going to be joined by Corey Curtis, live from Pittsburgh, coming up next. Excited to hear what he's been able to glean from talking to some of these prospects this morning and also what he's expecting for the Titans this weekend in the NFL draft. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game.